So 2 Corinthians chapter 1, reading from verse 3 down to verse 7. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it's for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance, the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. Amen. And then just very quickly from Matthew's Gospel and chapter 5, where our focus will be this morning. Chapter 5, verse 4, this is on page 968. Very simply, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And we pray that as we have written what are words on pages, we pray that these words will become for us the living word of God, as we receive and respond. So this last couple of weeks I started a new series of reflections entitled Upside Down, The Blessings of Jesus. These reflections based around the Beatitudes. We know them as the Beatitudes, but they are blessings. Blessings spoken by Jesus at the beginning of what we know to be the Sermon on the Mount. The Lord Jesus recorded in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, 6 and 7, gathers his disciples to him and he teaches them. And what he teaches them are the values of the kingdom of God. The disciples knew what it was to live in the kingdom of Israel, or the kingdom of Judea, under the rule and authority of the Romans. But Jesus gathers his disciples together to say to them, the kingdom of God is near. And these are the values of the kingdom of God. This is how you will recognize the kingdom of God among you. And I call it the upside down. The blessings of Jesus are upside down because so many of those things that we perhaps were brought up to value and esteem and treasure and desire, Jesus in these Beatitudes and then in the subsequent chapters, he turns upside down and says, well, in the kingdom, these are the really important things, not those things that you've been led to believe are important. And 3 key themes within the Sermon on the Mount: Jesus, the kingdom of God, and justice. We've already spoken about Jesus. He is our center. He is our goal, our destiny, our purpose. He is our inspiration and our example. He is the one. The Lord Jesus is the one that we look to. We may not always understand what his teaching is. We may not always understand how to put into practice the example that he gave us, but we say along with the disciples that surely he is the Son of the living God, and we have believed and come to know who he is, and we would rather be with him and not completely understand him than be without him. So Jesus is right at the center of the kingdom, and it is the kingdom of God. It is not the kingdom of this world. I love the passage in the Old Testament. I can't remember exactly where it is, but it's on the top left-hand side. Do you know, up there? Do you remember that one? There's a scene where Joshua has been given responsibility to lead the people of Israel. And God has said, I am with you. And Joshua leads the people of Israel, and they are strong and powerful and so on. And then there comes this moment where Joshua goes aside by himself to pray before battle. And he is met by a warrior. And Joshua, you can imagine, is kind of brought to attention. And Joshua says to this warrior before him, whose side are you on? Are you on our side or their side? And the warrior says, I've not come to take sides. I've come to take over. I am the commander of the Lord's army. And I will fight for him. And that's the kingdom of God. He doesn't come to take sides, whether that's politically or in terms of church or anything like that, or one group against another. He comes to take over and says, this is my kingdom, and my son is the king of the kingdom. And the third is justice. Justice is prevalent throughout the Sermon on the Mount and the teachings and life and example of Jesus. And justice is this turning things back so often to where they should be. Last week we read from 1 Samuel where Hannah prays this wonderful prayer, giving thanks to God because the Holy Spirit has filled her with joy. And what she expresses, what Hannah expresses, is that God is going to take the proud and bring them low, but God is also going to take the humble and raise them up. Hannah delights that God is going to take those who are fat and who have too much to eat and cause them to be hungry, but the hunger he will feed at a banqueting table. And he's going to take those who are wealthy, and he's going to leave them with nothing, but the poor he will give all they ever need to. And it's this turning upside down that Hannah sings about in her song of joy as the Spirit takes hold of her. And we see that repeated when Mary, the mother of Jesus, visits her cousin Elizabeth, having been given the news by the angel Gabriel that she's pregnant with Jesus. She sings a similar song, this turning upside down of the values of the world. And that's what justice is about. It's about putting things right. Putting things right. I want to touch, before I go on, again, I put this slide up last week about blessings, because I've spoken about the upside down blessings, and we have a list of the blessings, these beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. What did it mean in the ancient world to be blessed? This was a common theme. This is not something that Jesus invented and everybody went, oh, that's nice, cute and quaint or whatever. This is something that people were aware of. To be blessed was something they were familiar with. To be blessed in the ancient world. Those who were blessed, or those who were regarded as blessed, were those who had everything. Whether you were talking about wealth, or health, or status, or favour, or respect, the people who were regarded as blessed were those who were, in a sense, beyond the cares and concerns and worries of life. You would look at them, and that's what you would aspire for. And we, I believe, have the same spirit in our world. We aspire to have more money. Why do we aspire to have more money? Because we want to be beyond the cares, concerns, and worries of life. We want to have great health. We want to take the next magic pill. Why? Guess why? Because we want to be beyond the cares, concerns, and worries of the world. We want to be high in status because we know if you're high in status, you get it. We want to have the favour of all the people. We want to have respect because there is something within us that says, I want to be somehow beyond. We dream, don't we, possibly, of living on an island or living next to a beach, or don't we? Maybe that's just me, I don't know. But this is the picture of being blessed. And as I commented wryly last week, the poor were absolutely not blessed until something key happened to the poor. Do you know what that was? What had to happen to a poor person for them to be blessed? They had to die. Yeah? That's what people thought in the ancient world. That the only way a poor person could be blessed was to die. Because then they were beyond the cares, concerns, and worries of the world. So, and it's important for us just to bear this in mind as we think about these blessings that Jesus speaks. Because today we reflect on this. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Tomorrow, 2 weeks ago, my wife Sarah, her mother died. She'd been ill for about 5 months, in and out of hospital, really not well. And tomorrow morning will be her funeral. People will gather, family and friends will gather, some travelling from Europe, to be there. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. First thing, last Monday morning, I received a call to say that Audrey Furman, a longtime member of this church, somebody who, alongside her husband Rodney, who passed away a year ago, had served the Lord both in this country and overseas, so faithfully, I was told she was nearing death. And so I went and spent time with her and prayed with her and spoke words of blessing and comfort and consolation over her. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. We all know what it is to mourn. We may think that mourning is only to do with death, but it's not. Mourning, for most of us, is to do with loss. It's to do with loss. And yes, we do mourn when somebody who is close to us dies. Because there is a sense of loss. But there can be occasions through our lives when we mourn. I know that for some people, when they move house, and for whatever reason they may move house, and they may leave a community where they are loved and they love, where they are, everything is familiar to them, and they move so somewhere perhaps that is beautiful, but they don't know anybody, and it's just a little bit uncertain. They may know that sense of loss for where they have left. I have known people who have been ill, and in their illness, perhaps they have become disabled. Perhaps they can no longer walk. Perhaps one of their limbs they can no longer use. And they can go into a period of mourning for the loss. not just the loss of the use of the limb, but that sense looking ahead, if my life had stayed the same, then I could have enjoyed X, Y, and Z in my future. But all of that is now lost. And we know it. Some close to us, when they receive that diagnosis, a terminal diagnosis. I know for myself, when my little brother, Michael, received his diagnosis of brain cancer, he was only 31. I began to grieve and mourn from the day I heard. He died 5 weeks later, and I spoke to him every day. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. We know what loss is. We know what mourning is. And it may be to do with death. It may be simply that sense things are not going to be the same anymore. And we mourn, we grieve for what will not be anymore. And so mourning is not just about death, but it's about loss. It's about that sense of grief that we experience. In these last 2 weeks since Sarah's mum died, I think for the first week, I was kind of okay. Last Monday morning, as far as I remember, I had a great night's sleep last Sunday. Last Monday morning, I got up, took the dog out for a walk, had breakfast, and I tell you what, I could have gone straight back to bed. I was utterly exhausted. Every day this week, no matter what I've done, I've been utterly exhausted. I'm standing here today, I'm going to tell you, if I lay down, I'd probably sleep. And this is part, of grief, is a deep and profound tiredness that we experience. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. This is the blessing of the Lord Jesus. And then, of course, there is sadness. And we should never minimize the sadness that someone feels. And of course, we identify easily and quickly when somebody is mourning a profound loss and they're experiencing grief because perhaps somebody has died. But when somebody is in mourning because they've left their community or because they're circumstances are profoundly changed, it's sometimes less easy to identify with them and empathize. And yet sometimes there can be deep sadness. And we should remember that sadness has considerable effects on us as human beings. You know, sadness, we can't put sadness in a box and say, well, there's sadness over there. I can compartmentalize it and then get on with the rest of my life. Sadness spreads, doesn't it? Spreads through all that we are and impacts us. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. But there's one word in this blessing, and in fact, in all of these blessings, that I haven't focused upon. And it's the word for. Something else I haven't done is to list all the Beatitudes. So what are they? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Need to go on to a second page. Blessed are the merciful, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. But they're incomplete. What's missing? There is a line. You can see a gap. I've left a gap. Should we put them up? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Last week we looked at this. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who have absolutely nothing. Those who are bereft of hope and dignity. And we might say, well, in the kingdom, therefore we're all going to be bereft of hope. Because if you are, you're blessed. We're all going to mourn because that's why we're blessed. But that's not what it's about. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Why are the poor in spirit blessed? Why do they experience blessing? It's because God takes them from the bottom of the pile and lifts them up. And they say, they look back and they say, something extraordinary has happened to me. God has lifted me up. I am now blessed. Are you blessed if you mourn? Not just because you mourn. Why are you blessed? Because of the comfort you receive. Somebody who is alone and grieving and bitterly sad. Somebody who is mourning surely is not blessed. But they are blessed because they are comforted. And Jesus says, in the kingdom of God, those who mourn, those who once were bereft, they will say that they are blessed because they've been comforted. And they'll say, I know what I've lost, but right now, I am blessed. Blessed are the meek because they inherit the earth. And they look back and go, wow, God has blessed me. I had nothing, but now I have inherited the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And we use the word righteousness quite often in the Bible. In fact, I think a better translation, and it's the exact same word, is justice. Those who hunger and thirst for justice, those who look around and they say the world is wrong. So many inequities are going on in the world. So many things are out of place in the world. But they are blessed because they are filled. They are filled with joy as the world is put to rights. Blessed are the merciful. Sometimes you may be mocked because you are merciful. And you should say, no, you should punish X, Y, and Z. But they'll be shown mercy in the kingdom. It's not an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth in the kingdom of God. That's why no Christian should ever be in favor of the death penalty. Because that doesn't stand in the kingdom of God. Blessed are the pure in heart, because they will see God. They might live their whole life being pure in heart and think, what's this all for? But then they see God and they say, surely I am blessed. Blessed are the peacemakers who work so hard, who give their lives to make peace, because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. They will be called children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, because of justice. Those who fight for justice. But theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And this little word, for, makes such a significant difference. Today we reflect on this. Blessed are those who mourn. Because in the kingdom of God, they are comforted. They are restored. They are given all they need. They're given the fortitude and the encouragement, the strength and the help and the hope that they might continue to live and live well. This blessing, as all the other blessings, encourage us to see where God's priorities are. That God looks for those who are poor in spirit. God looks for those who mourn, that he may comfort them. And it encourages us to say, okay, I'm not poor in spirit. I'm not mourning. I'm not particularly meek. I'm not this. I'm not that. But I see where God's priority is. And so what I'm going to do, I'm going to seek out those who are mourning. And I'm not going to solve their problems for them, but I'm going to sit with them. And I am going to be the comfort just by being present with them and listening to them. Because I know that the presence of God, the light of God, rests upon those who mourn in the kingdom. So I want to get as close as I can that I might be within the light of God's blessing. And that is true for all of these beatitudes, all of these blessings. And it's a profound challenge to power, priorities, values, and success. It encourages us to see those who are insignificant so often, those who are overlooked, and say, I will go and sit with them. I will go and serve them because they're the blessing of God. Let's pray blessing upon us today. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Father, today we pray for all those who mourn. We pray for those who mourn because of the death of a loved one. We pray that they would know the comfort from yourself and from us, that they might say that they are blessed. We pray for those today who mourn because of loss, because their health is not as it once was. And they grieve and mourn for what will no longer be because the future has changed for them. We pray for the blessing of comfort upon them from you, Father, and also from us. We pray for those who grieve and carry deep sadness over loss. Father, so often we don't get over our grief, but we learn to live with it. We pray by your Spirit that those who grieve and mourn today will know the blessing of deep and profound comfort. We pray in the name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.